The People's Epic!
I think we're at this point with the podcast that is probably my favorite part that we've ever been at, where different people who've been listening for a long time are like catching up with all sorts of different episodes. We have like this awesome dedicated like listenership, and it's growing outside of just our circles.
Yeah.
So there's all these people that are listening that we don't know, and I love them with every bit of my heart. And then we're connecting with like real life people who are also tied to the people that we've been talking about, like the guy from the museum, the Osa Martin Johnson Museum, that reached out to us.
Correct. Yeah. So hi, guys. Welcome to our third, well, technically first season of The People's Epic, but season three of us having a podcast.
Season 3/1.
Yeah. Well, we are now formally known as The People's Epic, and we can get into that in just a second. But what you were saying, there was this gentleman named Conrad, shout out Conrad, who is the curator of the Martin and Osa Johnson Safari Museum in Chanute, Kansas.
Yeah.
So for people that are listening now, if you had listened to the episode where we talked about Osa and Martin Johnson, we had an individual reach out to us who runs the museum that we mentioned in that episode and said how much they enjoyed the episode. And everybody that works there, and they all just really enjoyed it. And it made us feel very proud and very seen. You know?
Seen, grateful also that we like did their story justice, because
totally.
An epic story it was.
A huge story.
Yeah.
And you also got that book for Christmas from my mother.
Yes, shout out to Sherry, your mom, who gave me a book about the two of them. I'm so excited to crack into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the My Life with Adventure.
Yeah.
I Married Adventure,
the Osa and Martin Johnson story. I'm so excited to crack into it. And I love how the cover of it is like zebra.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've always been obsessed with zebras because I'm a horse girl. But yeah. So anyway, I'm very excited to read that.
But if you're joining us now, guys, go back and check out that podcast. It was a lot of fun. Well, that episode anyway. It was a lot of fun. And we had a great time talking about it. While we're here now, though.
Yeah.
Where do we even start? We have a lot to catch up on.
So much to catch up on.
The end of last season. So
do we go personal or professional?
Well, let's go professional first, right? So far, guys, as I've stated just a second ago, we are now The People's Epic. It was time for us to change the adventures of Though We Loved It, and the theme is not going to change at all
the
show. It's just the name of the show had to change. I think it was going to help us with people finding our podcast.
Yeah.
You know, if you search The Adventures Of into any search engine,
there's a lot of The Adventures Of, which is awesome. And some of those podcasts, like, super cool. Definitely go check those out.
Yeah.
But we want to stand out. We want to be easily findable.
Yeah.
So Chris came up with a new name, and the minute he said it, I loved it.
Well, it's instead of searching in 5 words to find our podcast, you just have to type in 3. And I think that'll help out a lot.
Yeah.
And there's not another podcast named The People's Epic.
Yeah.
At least as of recording this episode, there's not. So we'll see what happens.
Knocking on all the wood.
But yeah, so that's where we are now. As far as personally is concerned, guys, we're engaged.
We're engaged. We're betrothed.
We're betrothed.
Engaged to be married.
I married adventure.
Okay, so we're going to start off this season by crying.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris proposed over New Year's, and he crushed it. He did such a good job.
I felt very good about it, guys.
Yeah.
She's a good egg, and we're going to keep her.
Yeah, we're going to go on lots of adventures together now.
Yeah, it happened in Asheville, North Carolina. It was right after Christmas. I got her. She had no idea. Had absolutely zero idea. I got her so good.
Yeah, it was so wonderful. And shout out to Asheville. Great place for an adventure.
Great place for an adventure. The hiking, the food, the atmosphere. If you've never been to Asheville, North Carolina, go check it out. Shout out to Asheville. I mean, apart from that, too, I mean, you just had a movie come out as well.
Yes.
Go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
Yes. So a movie that I am in is called Origin. It was directed by Ava DuVernay. And oh my gosh, this movie is so big. It's such a huge story. It's based on Isabel Wilkerson's book, Cast, The Origins of Our Discontents. And if you don't know who Isabel Wilkerson is, highly recommend checking out her work. She also wrote The Warmth of Other Suns. Origin is a movie that tells the story of Isabel writing the book Cast, and also the content of the book itself. The book basically looks at the the ways that we set up caste systems, not only in America, but also in India, and then also in Germany with the
Around
Third
the
Reich.
World.
Around the world.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful film. It was so well made. The story is just really, really moving. Isabel's story is just incredibly impactful. And I got the chance to play a real person.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning, too, that this person was an archaeologist.
Yeah. She was an archaeologist. Her name was Mary Gardner. Her and her husband, Burley, were assigned to go to Natchez, Mississippi in 1933, along with Allison Davis and his wife, Elizabeth. Allison was our leader. They were amazing. Anyway, without going too far down the rabbit hole, highly recommend. Go check out Origin. I hope by the time this episode comes out, I believe it will still be in theaters, but hopefully we'll figure out where to find it streaming. And yeah, that project actually inspired a couple people that I'm going to talk about this season. So
well, there you go. Yeah. I will say, is it fair to mention as well, it's not an easy ride.
No, it's a heavy film. Yeah. It's definitely not for kids, but I say
totally
that
worth seeing.
It's totally worth seeing.
The message is very worth seeing.
Seeing for sure. And they do have a really great program because they do want a lot of 16-year-olds to see it.
Yeah.
They have a really great program called Seat 16 where you can sponsor a 16-year-old to go see the movie for free. This movie needs to be talked about and needs to be seen. So yeah, definitely go see it and bring some tissues.
Totally. Yeah. Another film that was just made was, we might have mentioned it last season too, but our short film, Walkie Talkie, that we wrote and produced together is making its rounds in the festival circuit, hopefully in the next little while. We'll have some more updates on that too as we go along, but
we're so proud of it. And Chris did such a wonderful job. And shout out to our editor, Evan. Like, you guys really crushed it. It's so sweet. There's so much heart in it.
Thanks. It's a really cute film. And I'm very excited for everybody to see it. And hopefully when we finally get into festival circuit, we can share it with you guys and spread the love.
Yeah.
It's been good things. We've been making a lot of moves here, guys, is what we're trying to say. And we hope that you have done the same. We hope the new year is off to a great start.
Yes.
And for us, we're going to get off to a great start too.
Yeah.
So I am starting this season with an adventure that I'm very excited to talk about. This was a new person that I found.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we need to mention, though, before we jump in? I feel like we've sort of covered the bases here.
Those are all the big catch-ups. But just echoing what Chris said, I hope that everyone who's listening to this, who listened to season two and is now joining us for season 3/1.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you and spreading the word.
Totally, man.
I'm so excited to hear about who you've brought to the table, though. So let's jump in.
Yeah, I mean, we could do that for sure. But one more time, just to echo what you're saying, we are so grateful that you guys have been listening and checking in and potentially sharing the podcast with people. Last year was our highest listenership that we've gotten so far, and it just seems to keep growing. So we're super grateful. And I really pray that the change that we're making to the name doesn't backfire on us, but I have a good feeling that it's not going to mess us up in any case.
Me too.
But with that being said, here we go. Bass Reeves. Do you know who that is?
That name sounds somewhat familiar.
Yeah, so recently—
Can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess. Go ahead.
Something to do with hunting or like
you're close.
Wild man, like living out in the woods.
I mean, you're not far off.
Okay.
He's a cowboy.
Cowboy.
Yeah. There's also a TV show right now.
The TV show. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh, what's his name? Plays him.
Yeah, I can't ever pronounce his name correctly. David Oyelowo.
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 Yes. He is incredible.
Yeah, he's fantastic actor.
He played Martin Luther King in Ava DuVernay's Selma.
Yeah.
Also a great film.
Also a great film.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Yes, I've been wanting to watch the show.
So when I saw the trailer for that, I was like, is that a real person? Because that seems really incredible.
Right?
And turns out it is a real person. And turns out they are incredible.
Yeah.
Again, I can't say this enough. Every time we do an episode on this show and we start talking about somebody that we've never heard of, it just blows me away that this person hasn't been talked about more in history classes or like when we celebrate these people. I hope that you take away something from learning about this individual, but also like you want to share their story and inspire. Hopefully some sort of inspiration is found in yourself, but as we found out the other night watching The Parent Trap, that Annie Oakley was a way more popular name than we even anticipated, or at least I did anyway. But with that being said, let's talk about Bass Reeves.
Let's do it.
Bass Reeves was born into slavery circa July 1838 in Crawford County, Arkansas. He was named after his grandfather, Bass Washington. He was owned by a farmer and politician named William Reeves, where he would get his last name. When Bass was 8, the Reeves moved to Grayson County, Texas with Bass and his family. Bass was a water boy for the longest time until he was old enough to be a field hand. Bass would shoot up like a weed and grow to be about 6'2 by the time he was 18.
Nice.
Huge individual.
Nice.
He was often known for good manners and a great sense of humor. He would also develop a strong relationship with William Reeves' son, George. When the Civil War broke out, George would join the Confederate Army, forcing Bass to go with him. So though they were friends, it was still kind of, I don't know if George was even capable of doing things by himself, and Bass was such, obviously a help to the Reeves family. There was a special kinship between the two of them, though it would become sour after a while. Folks are unsure of how, or when for that matter, but Bass escaped during the Civil War and fled to Oklahoma. Some say he got into a fight with George. Others would say that he had, others heard that he just, that slaves were being freed, so they ran up north. Regardless, he took refuge with the Seminole, Cherokee, and Creek Indians, learning their languages, customs, and tracking skills.
No way.
Yeah. Oh, so wow. He immediately found refuge up there and started making friends with the local natives.
Okay.
He also learned to shoot and became a very quick and accurate shot.
Nice.
He was apparently so good that he was barred from competitive turkey shoots. They're like, put the rifle down, dude. You can't do this anymore. We're running out of turkeys.
Yeah, but also, like, I call bullshit. Like, they were just jealous of his talent.
I mean, well, yeah. I mean, the same thing with Annie Oakley, right?
Like, yeah.
Speaking of... She was so good that nobody wanted to go up against her. It's like, well, because then that takes the spirit out of competition, right? If there's one person that's absolutely dominating everybody else, it's like, well, then nobody else is having fun.
I mean, yes, but also, like, I don't know. Get better. Get
good, son.
Toughen up.
Yeah.
Let the man compete.
I mean, but that was the thing. He was already winning expertly
good
at all
him.
These competitions.
That's awesome.
Due to the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, he was no longer a fugitive and returned to Van Buren, Arkansas to become a successful farmer and rancher.
I just realized that he lived at the same time as Sarah Breedlove.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if their paths crossed at all.
I don't know. She kind of went up north.
She was more on the East Coast anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He would marry a year later in 1864 to Nellie Jeanie from Texas. Over the next decade, they would raise 10 kids in total. 5 girls, 5 boys, even baseball team there. Over that decade, Reed would make good money as a scout and guide U.S. deputy marshals who need help going through Indian territory.
Okay.
He was quoted having said, "I know these lands like a cook in the kitchen."
This is
the coolest fucking line you could
possibly
say.
That's a great line. How do you spell his name?
Bass Reeves, BASSREEVES.
Okay.
So yeah. Growing up amongst the Cherokee, Seminole, and just other native tribes, he knew those lands expertly. He was that guy. He became the go-to for navigating across those lands. He spoke the languages. He knew the territory. He was the key. Bass's life would change once again in 1875 when the Federal Western District Court moved to Fort Smith, Arkansas. Isaac Parker would become the head of this court and would oversee Western law and order. Unfortunately, Park inherited a world of problems. Parker inherited a world of problems. So this was the time when the West just became an absolute shit show, especially in the Northern Territories, because in the civilized, quote-unquote, South, there was havoc. Like, there was no true law and order because, I mean, you could go and rob a bank and get away with it, potentially. You could just run up north into the open lands and nobody was going to find your ass.
Yeah, civilized is really not actually the word. I know you did quotations around it. But it's like there were towns that had been built from the invaders, but it was still chaos.
Oh, absolutely lawless, for totally. Sure. But I guess when I mean civilized, I mean like people were trying to hold up a sense of decorum.
Yeah.
But it completely went out the window when nobody really had to know who you were. There was no, I mean, you were documented sort of.
Sure.
Like kind of.
Yeah.
But like you could literally hop over to another town and nobody would figure out who you are.
Yeah, hard to track.
During this time, as we said before, the West was crawling with thieves and lawlessness who took refuge in Indian territory. It became the job of the Western court to rein it all in. They elected U.S. Marshal James F. Fagan to lead nearly 200 deputies to clean it up.
Wow.
Fagan heard of Bass Reeves and quickly recruited him for his knowledge of the West, and most specifically, the Indian territories.
Mm.
So already, having led U.S. deputy marshals through that territory, he already had sort of an in and a high recommendation from the U.S. marshals.
Yeah, you build those relationships, like you can draw on that.
Yeah, but that was a thing. Yeah. It was like already he was sort of bred for this, right? He was a crack shot with a rifle. He knew the Indian territories. He spoke the languages.
His whole life led him to this
moment. His whole life led him to this moment.
Yeah.
Bass Reeves covered an estimated 75,000 miles during his service to the U.S. Marshals.
Whoa.
That's a lot of land, guys.
That's a lot of land to travel on horseback?
Horseback, for sure.
Ow.
We'll get to his horse in a minute. One magic trick of Bass was his incredible memory.
Hmm.
He could not read and write, so he would memorize every detail of the warrants and never failed in finding the right one when asked to produce it.
Oh my gosh, I wonder if he had a photographic memory.
Probably. I'd imagine he had to have, because it also helped him navigate territories, right? Like this vast stretch of land, 75,000 miles to memorize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's fucking insane.
Yeah, I bet you he did.
But having this memory, like, he couldn't read, he couldn't write. When he was asked to find these warrants, he just, filing cabinet. Here we go. These warrants were often, as you would expect, outlaws taken dead or alive.
Mm.
So the hunt was on from here.
Mm-hmm.
He would come to be known to the outlaws as riding a huge white stallion. He wore a large hat, a clean, spiffy suit, polished boots, and the best of manners.
Wow.
He also wore two Colt pistols, butts facing out for quicker draw. He was also ambidextrous.
No way.
So the cool factor on this guy just keeps
going up.
Big white stallion, kick-ass hat, kick-ass shoes, spiffy suit, the charmest of charming, and two pistols.
He does sound like French charming.
I mean, dude. I mean, like, the guy was already, and we'll get into this deeper too, but the mystique around this individual just started growing, and I think he knew that.
Yeah.
He sort of laid into this character, as it were. And we'll jump into that here in just a second.
Well, it sounds like with a man as intelligent as this, he knows the power of a reputation.
Totally.
He knows the power of, like, a story.
Mm-hmm.
And if people have a story in their heads about you, like, oh man, that can...
Oh yeah.
You can leverage that.
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And the fact that, I think he, to your point, he knew that nobody would ever really know who he was, like, fully in the West, because, of course, news would spread, but word of mouth, you can't exactly paint. When you paint a picture by word of mouth, it always seems a lot larger than it might actually be.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how myth is born. That's how folk tales start to begin.
Oh, yeah.
Bass, of course, no surprise here, was wildly successful. With a pack full of warrants, he would bring in dozens of outlaws at a time, collecting his handsome pay and hanging out with his family until he would go back out and do it all over again. Just another Tuesday for him.
Mm-hmm.
One notable exploit was a story involving two outlaw brothers. Reeves and a small posse camped out about 28 miles from where the brothers were hiding at their mother's house. Reeves suggested he go alone. Disguised as a tramp with ratty clothes, bad shoes, and a hat with three bullet holes in the top, he approached the mother's house solo, asking for assistance and a good meal. She agreed and let him stay through the evening. The brothers showed up later that night and all agreed they would take revenge on the guy who shot Bass and put those three bullet holes in his hat.
Mm.
So the bullet holes he put there, he made this elaborate story about how he got them. And he convinced the brothers that we're going to go after this guy who shot at me and we're going to take care of him. Playing into their ego.
Oh, yeah.
As the brothers slept, Reeves cuffed them without waking them and promptly marched them out the next morning.
Oh my gosh.
It's crazy. He collected his $5,000 reward without firing a single shot.
You know what I'm thinking about right now?
That's a lot of fucking money, by the way.
That's a lot of money, and that is amazing. But because, again, he knows the power of a story, I'm thinking, is what you're telling me right now actually what happened, or did he spin that story and tell that version of the story to people to then be written down in history books,
I mean,
continue his mystique and his reputation.
He could have. I mean, the fact though that he had a whole like crew with him.
Sure, that like, less likely also that like could
have verified in some capacity.
Yeah, less likely to sort of like spin out this kind of tale. But yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of where my brain went. But yeah, no, that's wild. That's amazing.
Well, it's interesting. The legends of the West always feel sort of mythical, but there was a kind of magic about like the lawlessness too. In a way, everything felt very story like driven. I guess. I mean, I don't know. This very well could have happened. I want to say it did.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Bass would go on to face some of the biggest bounties out there. One such person was Bob Dozier, a robber, murderer, and land swindler. Dozier eluded every deputy until Reeves. After a seven-month hunt, Dozier was dispatched by Reeves in a gunfight in 1878.
Dispatched.
That's right. Take him down.
That is such a word to use for killing someone in the Wild Wild West.
Dispatched? Yes. Yeah. We're taking care of him.
Oh my gosh.
Bass would also capture a Seminole outlaw named Greenleaf, a serial murderer who was on the run for 18 years.
Holy shit.
Bass got him.
Wow.
He got to the tail end of 18 years, and I wish I'd dug deeper into that one, but I love that name, Greenleaf, though, for an outlaw, a Seminole outlaw named Greenleaf. That's a cool story there.
I have a feeling you're going to write a short story about that.
Maybe. Bass would slow down after the passing of his first wife, Nellie, in 1896.
Aww.
Around the same time, he was transferred to a different court territory in Muskogee, Oklahoma. He would remarry in 1900 to a woman named Winnie Sumter. One of Bass's final and toughest manhunts was hunting down his own son.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I just got chills. Ooh, dun, Are you kidding me?
Yeah. His son, Benny, was charged with murder after killing his wife in a rage of jealousy.
Oh my God.
Bass's boss, Leo Bennett, delivered the bad news. Bass demanded to take the responsibility of finding his own son.
I mean, I guess, yeah, it's like, who would you want to find your kid?
Totally. Oh, I wouldn't want somebody else to find my own kid.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's funny. I was thinking about this the other day I was thinking about this yesterday, actually. I don't know why, but like, I feel like, maybe not all the time, but kids often become the polar opposites of their parents.
Sure.
You know? Yeah. And I think because the legend of Bass was growing bigger and bigger, and because he was out on the plains so much, like, I'm sure his kids were like, I don't know if this was an act of attention. Obviously, his son, Benny, killed through a fit of jealousy. But I do wonder if because he was so gone all the time, that if Benny was sort of the one kid to act out, I bet he was a middle child.
I don't know.
I'm totally kidding, by the way. Shout out to all the middles out there.
This is all extrapolation.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, sometimes, you know, you just never know. And I think because you and I, you know, talking about kids and stuff, it is kind of like, I wonder what happens in their development that either goes left or right, you know?
And well, I mean, he had 10 children. That's a big ass family.
It's a big family. It's a hard way. That's a hard atmosphere to like make a name for yourself in, especially too if you grow up with this very mythological kind of father.
Yeah. Totally.
But
totally.
I mean, that's not to necessarily defend his son. That's terrible what his son did. That he killed his wife. And that is just so painful that Bass would have to go hunt down his own son.
I know. God, I can't imagine that moment.
Yeah.
The most successful bounty hunter in the West. And you have to track down your family member.
I mean, I dare say that is some poetic justice. Like,
it's so poetic.
Oh, God.
It does get a little better, though.
Okay.
Yeah. 2 weeks later, he returned with his son.
This son?
The Charlie. Uh-huh. Yeah, little Charlie Bucket.
Charlie Bucket, say hi to everybody.
Yeah, so 2 weeks later, he returned with his son, who was tried and sentenced to life in prison. I can't imagine what those 2 weeks must have been like on their way back. The conversations they had, if any at all.
Yes.
I bet it was the quietest 2 weeks.
No, I bet you it wasn't. I bet you there was a lot of talk. Like, I mean, yes, maybe, but like, you know, obviously, what do you say?
Right. How do you talk to your son after he did all of that?
But you know that these are the last few like free days of your son's life.
Yeah.
So, oh man, that is a minefield. That is... Okay, now I'm super excited to watch the show, which we're definitely going to watch the show.
Yeah, for sure.
But I wonder if they include that time
they would
period
have to
in there. Because there's so much you could like... I know this is real people's lives we're talking about here, but like just as a writer and like as a creative, it's like there's so much you could imagine happened on that ride.
Yeah,
back.
What were those conversations? You know, especially if Benny didn't get that much attention from his father.
Years of catch years up to of do, catch up. Of reconnection, yeah. of, I don't know, reconciling. Oh, wow.
Just life to talk about.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I could sit and just extrapolate on about. That for the next few hours.
Silver lining here. Okay. Luckily for Benny and Bass, there was an alleged community petition to reduce Benny's sentence.
Oh, okay.
He was out after 11 years and lived the rest of his life as a model citizen.
Oh, okay. See,
so
I
he
I
fucked
do,
up
yeah.
hardcore.
Yeah.
But I think they all knew that he was a good kid.
Yeah.
And also for the sake of Bass, who was, you know, you talk about who you know.
Yeah.
Like, if he wasn't Bass's kid, he probably would have died in prison.
Yeah, but I mean, I also, like, you know this about me, but I am such a believer in rehabilitation.
Oh, totally. And people there deserve should always be rehabilitation. Chance. I mean, but then that comes into a larger question, though. It's like, if you murdered someone, does that give you the right to rehabilitate? I mean, like, I know sometimes in this case, it was seemingly a fit of jealousy, but like, if you kill somebody, does that give you the right, especially if you're Bass Reeves' son, does that give you a right to...
I mean, there's a whole other podcast in that question.
Oh, yeah, there's a whole... Yeah, that's a part two right
for
there.
For sure. But I'm like holding myself back from going down that tangent.
Yeah. No, I understand.
But in this circumstance, I would like to believe that his son did rehabilitate, did, you know, what's the word? Pay his dues or like work on whatever anger. Or...
I mean, he spent time in prison. He's been 11 years in prison. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that the community came together and were like, you know, he's not a bad kid.
Yeah.
He just really fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's a whole nother.
No, that's interesting that the community came together that way too. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was interesting too. Bass allegedly was on trial at one point for accidentally killing a posse cook while out hunting bad guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They said his gun misfired while cleaning it, but he was eventually acquitted, most likely due to his squeaky clean record.
Sure. Yeah.
I think I had seen somewhere too in the research that Bass did have a slight temper, which would kind of make sense though, considering how ruthless he was in the West.
You got to have an edge to live that life.
Totally.
Yeah.
Bass would eventually walk on January 12th, 1910 of Bright's disease, a form of kidney disease. He was survived by his 11 children and his great-great-grandson, William Reeves, a professional football player.
Oh,
and
no way.
His great-great-great-great-grandsons, Ryan Reeves, a hockey player, and Jordan Reeves, a Canada Football League player.
Oh, no way.
As we had mentioned before, there is currently a TV show on Paramount Plus starring David
Oyelowo.
So check that out.
Yeah.
Do we have Paramount Plus?
Not currently, but we're going to get
Check that out.
We are not associated with Paramount Plus. We do not have a kind of...
Paramount Plus loves their Westerns. They had Yellowstone and now, you know, Bass Reeves.
Yeah.
Bass was, for the most part, an exemplary example of living your life in the service of others and protecting what is sacred.
Mm.
The land, the people, and the dignity of those who are trying to make a living. A stalwart of the West, a bastion of the law.
I see what you did there. Yeah.
Bastion.
I got it.
Anyways,
yep.
Don't need to explain it. Yeah, what a wild figure.
Wild life.
Yeah. I mean, his life couldn't have been more poetic.
Yeah.
An escaped slave who learned and studied with the Indians, became a wicked shot, turned deputy marshal. I mean, his whole life. Hi, Bubba's. His whole life. It's literally a folktale.
Yeah, it really is. It totally is a story of cinematic like proportion.
Totally.
You know,
when I was writing this, I kept thinking about Robert Smalls, you know, from season one.
Yeah.
Where I'm sure we might have touched on Bass Reeves at some point in the history books, you know, in school. But to go this in depth with his life, I mean, fuck, man. I love that moment of him. Having to find his own son. Like, what a wild...
I think love is probably not the word that you mean, but fascinated by it.
Yeah, incredibly fascinated by it. I mean, what a Greek tragedy that is,
totally,
you know?
Totally. I mean, it is Shakespearean. Like, totally. His life kind of is. Yeah. Yeah, there's so much there. I mean, I love the fact that we get to hear about this person who was so intelligent for like, yeah, picture
for having not
photographic memory.
Yeah.
Definitely knowing how to navigate social situations.
Totally.
To be a black man in that time and to rise in the ranks the way he did.
Yeah.
That takes a, I mean, there's a lot of intelligence there. There's a lot of like
confidence,
awareness, confidence, a strategy. And yeah, I love hearing a story about such a badass person like that. That
That's a really good point. In that time,
yeah,
having had to navigate socially in that world.
Yeah.
I mean, the fucking cojones on this guy.
Yeah.
I guess he just didn't think he had anything to lose, you know? I mean, and honestly, he didn't.
I mean, maybe. Honestly, I don't know, though. I feel like when you know you have something to lose, it wakes you up. And he does strike me as someone that knew the stakes of his life.
Yeah.
He knew the stakes of his life, and he knew how to navigate in them to have a life that was his own. He had 10 kids with a wife that sounds like he loved very much.
Yeah.
And
well, he had 11 after his second wife.
Okay, he had a total of 11 kids and was very well respected by the community.
Yeah.
So
sure.
I think he knew the stakes, but yeah, that's incredible. That is definitely a life well and hard lived.
Bass Reeves, man. He was also played, did you ever see that movie The Harder They Fall? It's sort of like a reimagining of the West. It's a bunch of black cowboys. It's got Danny Glover in it. Regina Smith. Is that her name? Regina King.
Regina King. Oh, yeah. I love Regina King.
Regina King. Jonathan Majors was in it. Khalith Stanfield.
Lakeith Stanfield.
I said Khalith. Lakeith Stanfield,
who is currently in The Book of Clarence that I really want to go see. Very cool. No, I haven't seen that. The Harder They Fall.
But he's Bass Reeves.
Is a character in there.
Yeah, I think he's played by Danny Glover.
Oh, cool. Oh, also love Danny Glover.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, yeah, no, we should definitely check that out. I'm very excited to watch Bass Reeves now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what a guy. What a legend. Like, honestly, like that is a legendary story. I think
he had one hell of a mustache, too.
Yeah, is the TV show called The Legend of Bass Reeves?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think it's just called Bass Reeves.
Oh, okay. All right. But yeah, that's amazing. What a way to kick off the season.
Hey, I thought he was such a cool guy. And I mean, again, it was one of those things. I saw the trailer for it and I was like, oh shit, that's really cool.
Yeah.
We should definitely talk about him. But
yeah.
Yeah, we kicked it off with the cowboy this season. What can we take away from Bass Reeves?
Knowing the power of a reputation. Being able to navigate. Yeah. Being able to create a myth of yourself. And like the fact that like, yeah, the sharp suit, the mustache, the hat, the white horse, like that just all sounds calculated and strategic to me to create this personality that other people would fear, love, honor, respect, etc.
Yeah.
Like that, I feel like he was just a master at.
That's a really great answer.
Yeah.
The power of a reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Creating yourself, your reputation and your myth that follows you or that precedes you.
And also, yeah, allowing it. Yeah. Allowing it to be larger, maybe even larger than yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So another question that we'll keep from the past seasons is, what was their true north? What do you think their purpose was?
With Bass Reeves, justice.
The law.
The law.
Like law and order.
Law and order.
Maybe order is the word there.
Holding people accountable to their actions. Yeah.
That's true.
That seems like his true north.
Because, you know, I wonder too if there was a part, if some of it was part revenge, because some of the lawlessness might have come from like people from the South who, after the Civil War, turned to lawlessness because they either had failed businesses because of the, what's the word I'm looking for, the industry, as it were, in the South.
Yeah, maybe. I guess he seems too smart to just be motivated by revenge.
Yeah,
in my mind, revenge seems more reactionary than like strategic.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. And he wasn't reactionary.
Yeah. No, yeah. He seemed very calculated.
Yeah, I think his true north was definitely along the lines of order and
justice.
Justice.
Yeah.
Well, hey, here's to Bass Reeves, the stalwart of the West. Here's to keeping balance in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe let's say that.
Yeah.
Keeping balance in the world.
Keeping balance in the world and being a total fucking badass.
And being a suave motherfucker.
Suave motherfucker.
I honestly, too, adventure Now that we're talking, I'm going to try my best this season to not curse as much. I feel like I was doing it a lot last season. Anyways, back to Bass Reeves here. Here's to Bass Reeves. Here's to being a legend. Here's to kicking off season 3 and just being such a cool individual. Go check out the show on Paramount Plus. Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, Bass Reeves.
Bass Reeves.
What a cool guy.
Trivia.
Trivia question. Yeah, we're definitely keeping the trivia question, guys. Yeah. Now that this is, I love the trivia question. It's probably one of my favorite things. Not this trivia question, but the fact that we have trivia questions.
Yeah. This is all just preparing us for Tuesday Night Trivia.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in Atlanta, you guys are looking for something to do, check out DirtySouthTrivia.com. They have trivia all over the city of Atlanta and then some.
Not a sponsor, but you could be.
Not a sponsor, but give us a shout out, Dirty South. So here it is. What was the biggest cowboy heist at the turn of the Wild West?
I want to say it was something Billy the Kid did, but I don't know.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Billy the Kid, also a legend and somebody we might talk about on the show one day.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get that answer during your episode next week. Very excited that we're back, guys. To be perfectly transparent with you all, we have been kind of waffling on this show. We didn't know whether or not we wanted to change the name. We love doing this podcast.
Yeah.
But it is difficult. It is hard to keep up with, especially with our other jobs, with the other things we want to do in our lives. Ultimately, we are filmmakers. I think that is our true north. Collectively.
I think we're storytellers.
Yeah.
And we enjoy telling stories in many different mediums, but we're really excited this year to see what happens with Walkie Talkie, to keep pursuing. Chris has written some really awesome stuff, so we're excited to try and make more of that.
Thanks.
And so we're excited for 2024.
Got a lot coming down the pipeline.
A lot going on this year, but we are also this season going to have friends of ours, people of the present, interviewed, which I'm so excited to do and get to know some really amazing, epic people from our current time.
Totally.
We're also going to talk about some really amazing places that
We should have mentioned that at the top of the show, but guys, we're going to be talking about places, things, experiences. We're going to be covering a lot more on this show going forward.
Yeah.
But you can still expect us to be talking about people from history. That will always be a staple of this show. But yeah, we're doing more things this year, so especially for this show. So just kind of be on the lookout for that. We're excited. If you would like to be a guest on our show, we have changed our email. It's not The Adventures Of anymore because we're a different show. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can reach out to thepeoplesepic@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Give us a shout out. Email us. Tell us what you think about this episode or past episodes when we were The Adventures Of. Tell us if you like the name The People's Epic. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, and we also on social media have changed our handle, so it's The People's Epic on Instagram and People's Epic, a podcast on Facebook.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Welcome to season 3.
Woo, 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 woo. Till next time, here's your true north.
It's yours.
Bye.